Well, once again, let me just welcome any guests or visitors who may be joining us for the first time. Hope you feel welcomed and invited here at Fusion. Of course, to my Fusion family, so good to be with you. Happy 2023. Hope your new year is off and rolling off to a great start. Hope you all had a great holiday season and that you're encouraged with the start of your new this new year. I'm excited as we begin this new series. It's going to be a three-week series we'll be in together called How to Have a Great Year, Strengthening What Matters Most. Let me just ask, let's just get it out of the way. How are your New Year's resolutions going, you guys? Still, anybody still hanging in there? You're like, it's January 8th. I've been done for 5 days. I gave up on it. Yeah, next year, Hyro. Next year is going to be the year for Hyro. He's going to finally do whatever that thing is. I find it so interesting that on a yearly schedule, as a community, as a people, as a nation, we just decide it. That one day we're just gonna wake up one morning with all of the discipline that we never had last year, but tomorrow it's gonna be here on January 1st, because that's the holiday. January 2nd is gonna be the day, right? That we're just gonna wake up with all of this discipline in these things called resolutions. Now, I'm not dunking on resolutions. I think New Year's resolutions can be helpful things. I'm not personally huge on them because I just have just a wake of carnage of resolutions. I never made it, you know, through the year. But I think resolutions can be helpful things. Really, what I like about resolutions is that it shows me that we actually do have the capacity to change things in our lives. We just often need a catalyst or some form of motivation to cause us to start making these changes. Many of us launch into January saying to ourselves, "This is the year. This is the year that I," and you can fill in the blank for yourself. "This is the year that I'm going to start going to the gym X number of times a week, or lose that 10 pounds I've been trying to lose. Or this is the year I'm going to read through the Bible in a year and never miss a single day. This is the year I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to start saving," whatever it might be. And yet studies show us that of those who make New Year's resolutions, about 9% of people complete them at the end of the year. Meaning that about 91% of us don't make it through the year completing our resolutions. Now, this isn't a sermon or a series about resolutions. It's about what is it going to take for us to have a great year in 2023. With this fresh start that we all have, we're going to ask ourselves a few questions over the next few weeks. What would it take for you to have a great year? What's standing in the way of you having the year you believe God intends for you to have? Or maybe you can think about it like this. On December 31st, 2023, where do you want to be in your relationship with God? Where do you want to be in your relationship with others, with your family, with your roommates, with your friends? What efforts or accomplishments is God leading you to undertake this year? See, I believe that God has things that he wants to do in you and through you this year. And while I can't promise this year is going to be easy or going to be painless, in fact, I can promise the opposite. There will be some pain this year. This year will not be easy for all of us. I do believe God wants to give you a great year as you walk with him. As you discover more of your purpose and your calling that God has on your life, as you grow in your relationship with others. So we're going to look together tonight and see what the Bible has to teach us about how to have a great year. Let's pray together before we turn to God's word. Jesus, we desire not just to have a great year, but to have the year that you intend for us to have. As we talked about earlier, we know that you have prepared things for those who love you. And so that's what we want to walk in this year. We pray that as we turn to your word, that you would speak to us. Lead us by your Holy Spirit and your scripture tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Without a doubt, one of the greatest gifts that God gives us is time. Job says it like this in Job chapter 14. He says, "God, you have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. By the way, all these verses and some notes are going to be in your bulletins. I encourage you to open this and fill out some points as we move through our scriptures. See, God decides the length of our lives, but we get to decide what to do with that time. Everyone began today with the same 24 hours in front of us. Everybody woke up on January 1st with the same 365 days ahead of us. God has given all of us an incredible opportunity this year. The question is, what will we do with the opportunity and the time that God has given us? We're going to look at God's word and we're going to discuss four things that we need to do this year if we're going to have a great year. And the first is this. Number one, I encourage you to write this down. Assume responsibility for your life. Assume responsibility for your life. If you want to have a great year, assume responsibility for your life. I don't know why it's such a part of human nature, but we are so tempted to blame others for our problems, aren't we? I mean, it's been that way since the beginning. When God confronted Adam and asked him about the fruit that he wasn't supposed to eat that he ate, what did Adam say? That woman you gave me, by the way, it didn't work then, it doesn't work now. We still do this though, right? If you have a meeting that you're late for because you were in traffic, what do you say when you walk into the meeting? I'm sorry, it was traffic, it rained, people didn't know how to drive, so there was traffic, I'm sorry that I'm late. It's like, listen, you live in Los Angeles, there's always traffic. You know there's gonna be traffic. You knew ahead of time there was gonna be traffic, but instead of leaving early so that you could be to your meeting on time, you left at the normal time, you sat in traffic, and now you're late for the meeting. But we do that, don't we? Traffic, sorry, man. The Bible is clear that we each have a God-given responsibility for our lives, and it's on us to steward that responsibility well. And part of that will come by assuming responsibility. Galatians chapter 6, Paul writes this. He says, "For each person will have to carry his own load," meaning each person must be responsible for the portion, for their portion of the work and effort that God has called them to. No one's going to carry your responsibility for you. No one's going to carry your assignment for you. If you don't do what God has assigned for you to do, guess what? I'm not going to do it. Nobody will do it. We all must assume responsibility. Or Proverbs 22 says this, "The lazy person claims, 'There's a lion out there. If I go outside, I might be killed.'" Some of you like, this sounds like reasonable. You're like, "I, that sounds like if there's a lion, I'm not gonna go out there." But this is a hypothetical situation. This person in Proverbs is already lazy, so therefore they are full of excuses for why he can't get up and get to work for himself. And it never ceases to amaze me how full of excuses I can be when I'm feeling lazy. I've got all the excuses I need to not do anything I don't want to do. I'm pro at it. Maybe you'll understand this, but it's so funny to me how I can be pretty good at assuming responsibility in some areas of my life and less good in others. And we know what that's like, where there's some areas. Like, rarely is it all or nothing where I assume no responsibility. I just am very particular at picking and choosing which areas I'm gonna, you know, be responsible for in my life. For example, over the last 7 to 8 months, I ended up building a really great rhythm of going to the gym and exercising. I made it to the gym 4 to 5 times a week for more than half a year. And it became something that I really enjoyed, that I really looked forward to. If I'm honest, it's not lifting weights and trying to get in shape. I think it's because I know that for at least 1 hour a day, I can put in my headphones, I can play my 90s and 2000s metal and rock, I mean, my worship, my Hillsong, all of that, but little Metallica, Linkin Park, it's okay every now and then, that I can play my music really loud and no one's gonna ask me for anything. Like, I think I just really began to look forward to that time. So in the area of working out, like, I began to take great responsibility, and I really enjoyed and thrived in going to the gym. In the area of my diet and what I ate, though, not so much. At least once a week, I had Taco Bell as a recovery meal from working out. I'm like, I've earned this meal right here. I'm so full of excuses when it comes to what I eat. It's like, oh, I forgot to bring a lunch, so I'll just drive through again today. Or I didn't have time to meal prep this week, so the rest of my week will just be eating whatever seems most convenient to me. But the reality is, there's no convenient time for discipline. There's no convenient time for discipline. You wouldn't need it to be convenient. Like, you would just already do this thing. But we are just so full of excuses. My dad always told me, Bo, in life you have two choices, discipline or regret. And you get to pick which one of the two you're going to pursue. What are the areas of your life where you find yourself taking responsibility, where you find yourself having discipline? Recognize those areas and celebrate those areas in your life. But I think we also need to ask ourselves tonight, what areas do you know that you have not been taking responsibility for yourself? Are there areas you're making excuses, that you're just putting things off? Maybe you take responsibility for your relationships, but not your finances. You have all the excuses in the world why you haven't paid off those student loans yet, why you haven't gotten yourself out of that credit card debt, why you haven't started saving, or whatever it is. Maybe you take responsibility for your physical life. We can always find you in the gym, but not for your spiritual life. I never hear more excuses from people in conversations than when I ask them about spending time reading God's word daily. Every excuse you could ever imagine, I hear it when I talk to people. What would it look like for you to assume your God-given responsibility in every area of your life in 2023? What would this year look like? What would your life look like at the end of this year if you decided this is the year I'm going to be a grown-up and I'm going to take responsibility for my life? The second thing we have to do if we want to have a great year is this. Number two, decide what is important. Show of hands. How many of you have ever had this thought before? I really want to do blank, but I just don't have enough time. Anybody ever thought that to yourself? Absolutely. I know I have. But the truth is, we always give our time to what we value. Like, you always have time for your priorities. So if you're not doing something in your life, it's not because you don't have enough time, it's because it hasn't become a priority for you yet. Job 34 says this, "Doesn't the ear test the words and the palate taste food? Let us judge for ourselves what is right. Let us decide together what is good." Now, Job isn't telling us that we should live in this world of relative truth where we're deciding what is right or wrong, but instead, we must, using the wisdom God has given us, judge and decide what is right, what is good, and what is important for our lives. Or Proverbs says it like this, "Wisdom is the focus of the perceptive," meaning the wise person will focus onto an important thing. "But the fool's eyes roam to the ends of the earth," meaning a wise person focuses on what is good and what is important, while the fool lacks focus, they lack direction, and is willing to follow their eyes wherever they may look. Consider your typical week. Think through this last week. I bet if I were to see every moment of your last week, I could tell you what you have decided is most important in your life. I could do that. Because all I have to do is look at how you spend your time. And you could do the same for me. What does your time say about your values? What are you giving your time to that is not so important? What's being left out of your life that you know, according to God's word and God's wisdom, actually is important for your life? I don't always do this, but I'm tempted to every time. But when I talk to somebody and I ask them about, hey, how are your daily devotions going? How's reading God's word? What is God speaking to you through his scripture? When I hear people say, oh, I don't really have time to read my Bible, what I always want to say is, pull out your phone right now and show me how much time you spent on social media this week. Please. I bet you have some time. I decided this year that I'm going to read the Bible just from beginning to end, page one to page whatever, the last Revelation, the end of Revelation. I'm going to read it through. And at first I was a little intimidated. I'm like, all right, that's a big thing. But as I did a little research, I realized that if you read four chapters a day, you'll do it in 11 months. So there's even a little bit of margin. And as I've been doing it, what I found is it takes me about 10 to 15 minutes to read four chapters of the Bible a day. Meaning in 10 to 15 minutes, you could read the entire Bible this whole year. Now, I don't know how much time you spend on social media, but if you look at my social media account, I have 15 minutes to spend reading scripture. I just have to decide that it's important. I have to make it the priority. To have a great year, you have to decide what is important in every area of your life, including A, in your spiritual life. Ask yourself, what will grow my walk with God in 2023? In 2 Peter, he says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. I love how we're reminded that you aren't permanently set in your knowledge and in your walk with Jesus, but you can grow it with effort and intentionality. Fusion, let me just encourage you with something as we are beginning this year together. Your weekly presence and attendance at Fusion matters. It matters every single week. It matters because worshiping with your community and hearing from God's word, it will grow your walk with Christ. It's not the only thing you should do, but it is definitely something you should be doing. And your presence matters because it strengthens our community. When you arrive and when you worship with us, it builds our faith. When you pray for me and when I pray for you and when you pray for each other, it matters. I want to challenge you this year, Fusion. Prioritize being here with us at Fusion every single week. Decide now, being with my community at church is important for me. Decide that being a part of this place, that helping to grow this community is a value to you in 2023. And here's the thing about deciding what's important. You have to do it ahead of time. You can't wait until 5:30 on Sunday evening to say like, oh, am I gonna go to Fusion tonight? Do I feel like going or not? It'd be like if I were to stand at the altar at my wedding across from my now wife, Blake, and be like, I'll decide in the moment if I feel like being faithful to you throughout our marriage. Like, I'll see how I'm feeling on that weekend. No. I decided ahead of time. Being faithful to my bride matters. I decided it. So that is how I have lived my life. Will you decide for this year, being present at Fusion matters? When you're not here, we miss you. When you're not here, something is missing from this place. Decide now. Being a part of this place matters to me. Men, I want to encourage you. Decide now you're going to join us for the men's gathering this week. Don't wait till Wednesday afternoon after you get off work and you're hungry and tired. Like, oh, I don't know. Do I feel like going? No. Decide now. Put it on your calendar now. Be with us at the men's gathering because your presence there matters. Ladies, decide now you're going to join a women's Bible study table. Decide it now ahead of time. That way when it comes to the moment of decision, you know you've already made it. Next, when deciding what is important, consider your intellectual life. What do I want to learn in 2023? Proverbs 19 says this, the one who acquires good sense or who learns good things loves himself. The one who safeguards understanding finds success. Other translations will say the one who remembers what they learned will find success. What good sense do you need to learn and acquire this year? Maybe it's a new skill for your work life. Maybe you want to learn about nutrition. You want to learn about investing or finances this year. Maybe you need to learn some theology. You need to deepen your understanding of God's word this year. Part of having a great year is taking responsibility for your God-given intelligence. I will oftentimes catch myself talking to somebody who is just very knowledgeable in some area or some subject that I'm not. And I can trick myself into believing that some people just know things and other people don't. And that's not true. The truth is, some people have learned things and other people have not learned those things. What do you want to learn this year that God wants to use for his kingdom and for his glory? Next, when it comes to having a great year, what about your physical life? What will improve my health in 2023? We are called to honor God with our bodies, and that includes keeping ourselves healthy. Maybe you need to begin or you need to renew a regular habit of exercise this year. Maybe you need to have a plan for what you're going to eat at the beginning of each week. But where do you want to be physically at the end of this year? And would you begin this year recognizing that you are honoring God as you take care of your body? Next, when considering what's most important, what about in your relational life? What will be my service to others in 2023? See, decide now that you're going to make time to serve others this year. Here's a tip. If you want to have a horrible year this year, if this series wasn't how to have a great year, but it was how to have a horrible year, one of the talks that we would do would be all about making everything about yourself all the time. If you want to have a horrible year, make everything all about you. You focused, you solely, all alone. Serve nobody. Help nobody. Lay down your life for no one. Make it all about you. That's how you have a horrible year. But if you want to have a great year, it's going to include using your God-given gifts to help others. Serve. Serve in kids' church. Serve in student ministries. Serve on the worship team. Be a life group leader. By the way, shout out to our amazing Fusion life group leaders who are serving and making space for you to join their groups this year. Serve with Kids Hope. I could go on and on and on. The truth is, and I have to be honest with you, you are not lacking opportunities to serve in God's church here at Christian Assembly this year. There are plenty of opportunities for you. The question is, will you decide to make serving important this year? Will you decide this is the year I'm going to start pouring my life out for other people? One of the biggest lies that I hear from people that they believe about themselves is that they think that God can't use me or God won't use me. They believe there's nothing special about me and who I am. But according to God's word, that's just not true. In 1 Peter, he says this, just as each one of us has received a gift from who? From God. Use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. God has given each of us, not some of us, not the special ones of us, not the holy people who sit on the front row every week. Shout out front row people. Thank you very much. Not just them, but even you guys in the back. Each one of us, God has given us gifts that he wants to use to demonstrate his grace in people's lives. And when you use your God-given gifts, it's a form of God blessing others through you. And all I know that I want to be used by God to bless somebody this year. Don't you? Next, number three, to have a great year, don't wait to begin. Don't wait to begin. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 says this. It says, one who watches the wind, they will not sow their seeds. And the one who looks at the clouds, they will not reap. Meaning, if you're waiting for things to be perfect, you'll never start. If you're waiting for perfect weather, you'll never plant anything. See, once you assume responsibility, once you decide what is important in each area of your life, then get started. See, in life, you can either make progress or you can have excuses, but you can't have both. And some people wait their whole lives for something to happen while it just passes them by. They wonder where God is. They wonder when God is going to put them to work in some way or another. And God wonders why they never took their God-given responsibility to decide what's important, to come up with a prayerful plan, and to begin. And the truth is, you don't even need to have a perfect plan to get started. You can adjust your plan as you go, but you have to get going. You can't steer a car when it's in park. I know there's times in my life when I've made a plan to do something and the plan didn't quite go according the way that I thought it would, or the plan went completely opposite the way that I thought it would. Anybody ever have any of those experiences in your life? What I usually do is take that as a sign to quit. Be like, oh, God doesn't want me to do that apparently. But the thing is, the Bible never guarantees that we're never going to fail. What is guaranteed is that we will always fail at everything we never attempt, right? Here's a personal example from my life about not waiting to begin. And if I'm honest with you, this is a little peek behind the curtain of my own life, my own heart, and our Fusion team and what we're looking forward to this year. Like most other ministries at Christian Assembly and churches all around the nation and world, Fusion's attendance was greatly impacted during the COVID pandemic. When we relaunched our in-person gatherings in this room about a year and a half ago, Fusion's attendance was about one-third of what it was pre-COVID. Now hear me, I'm grateful for every person who is a part of this Fusion community, both the veterans from before COVID and those who have joined our community since spring of 2020. But I felt God leading me to find ways to try and grow our in-person attendance here on Sunday nights at Fusion. Now, it's not because it's all about numbers and I'm just trying to grow some massive ministry that our Fusion team is like, how can we just have the biggest young adult ministry in Los Angeles? That's not it at all. We believe that God wants to reach more young adults of Los Angeles. And helping them find their way into a church is a huge part of that. See, each number matters because each number is a person. And each person is a life and a soul that God desires to impact and reach and change. So I know that God has been calling me and our Fusion pastoral team to try and find ways to increase our weekly attendance. But if I'm honest, that frightens me a little bit. Maybe I'm just like scarred from the last 3 years. Because I kind of feel like, man, if we're gonna do something like to grow Fusion, I better come up with like the perfect strategy that's gonna like miraculously grow this community. Like we're gonna implement the strategy and the next week we're gonna be busting out those doors and have to go back across the street. And I feel like, man, if we try something bold and daring to reach more young adults, and if Fusion doesn't actually grow, like what might that say about me as a leader or us as a leadership team or this community? There's all this fear involved. And if I'm honest, I've let myself get a little comfortable in how things are. Like I can, in my flesh at times, I can just kind of like, hope week to week that a bunch of people show up. But God is calling us to do more than just hoping week to week. So this year in 2023, we are gonna try some new things to help grow Fusion Sunday night attendance. You are going to be invited to join us in that process. It isn't that the three of us are supposed to grow this community. We believe, are gonna be called by God to help grow this community. Now, will every effort that we try be perfect? No, absolutely not. Will everything that we try this year work? Almost certainly not. Will everybody agree with everything that we try? Definitely not. But I am full of faith that God is going to honor our efforts. And by his grace and our effort, we're going to see more of your friends, more of your community, more of your coworkers come to Fusion, worship God, hear the gospel preach, and experience the grace and life-transforming work of Jesus in their life. We believe that's going to happen this year. But what I know is we can't wait for perfect conditions to start. We can't wait for God to drop the perfect plan into our hearts or into our minds. So instead, we're just going to start, and you'll hear more about that in the next several weeks. Finally, to have a great year, number four, expect God to help. Expect God to help. Let's remember that we are not on our own. God doesn't expect us to change without his help. In fact, without God, our attempts to change anything are doomed. So let me just ask you, where do you need God's help this year? Where do you need God's help overcoming sin this year? Would you be reminded of Paul's words in Romans 6 when he says, "For the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once and for all time. But the life he lives to God. So you too consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." You see, God will help you not only overcome the power of sin in your life, but also accomplish every good work he has prepared for you to do. You can expect his help. You can count on his strength this year. In Ephesians 6, Paul says, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength." He doesn't say find your own strength. He says be strengthened by his strength. Or Philippians chapter 4, Paul reminds us, "I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me." What are the all things Paul is talking about? He's talking about everything God has assigned him to do. See, the reality is, if he's assigned it for you to do in 2023, then you will have all the strength that you need to do it in 2023 as you stay close to Christ. If you rely on God in determining your plans, you can count on God living them out. And what's cool is, we can already see this happening. I mentioned that God is leading us to try some new things to try and grow Fusion's attendance in 2023. But the reality is, God is already doing that work. When you compare August to December of 2021, when we first relaunched Fusion, to August to December of 2022, Fusion actually grew by 15% during that window. And even while I've been hesitant to maybe try anything new or comfortable in what we're currently doing or feeling like I don't have the perfect plan, so I don't really know what to do, God was at work growing this community already. God's been at work bringing young adults into this place ready to experience his grace and his power in their lives. And that encourages me. As we hit this new year and we're dreaming about new things, it's kind of like God is smiling at us. And he's like, "Okay, I'm going to help you get moving on this one here. Like, I've already started growing this place. That's kind of a gimme for you. Now it's time for you to stop waiting and simply begin." Fusion, let's apply God's word and start this year off right. Next week, we're going to talk about how strengthening our relational core will help us have a great year. But let me close with this thought from G. Campbell Morgan, the British evangelist and pastor, when he said, "Let the year be given to God in its every moment. This year is made up of minutes. Let these be watched as having been dedicated to God." And then I love this. "It is in the sanctification of the small that the making holy of the large is secured." Sanctify every moment of your year, Fusion, and watch God do something holy in the large of it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the way that you were at work in our lives in 2022. We don't take that for granted. Even for those looking back at 2022 as a year of difficulty, what we can see is your faithfulness and your kindness to us last year. And what we know is the way that you were faithful to us in 2022 is how you will be faithful to us in 2023. Help us now to make plans that honor you and that help us to take the steps we need to have a great year walking with you. So Fusion, with your heads bowed as you're reflecting, let me just ask, what will grow your walk with Jesus this year? What do you need to do this year to put effort toward your walk with God? Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus for the first time tonight. You can do that. You can do that by praying a prayer that says, Jesus, I recognize my sin and I give my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new. Lead me this year and always. Maybe you need to decide that coming to church is going to be a priority for you. Maybe you need to decide that joining a life group is going to be a priority, that you know you need a Christ-centered community to walk with this year because you can't do it on your own. What do you need to do that will help grow your walk in 2023? What's God inviting you to learn in 2023? What skill, what habit, what piece of knowledge is God putting on your heart? Maybe it's going back to school for something, learning a new skill for work, deepening your theological knowledge or your knowledge of apologetics so you can be confident in the faith that you have. What step do you need to take to improve your physical health this year? Be bold and begin. Don't wait for it to be perfect and don't feel like you need some giant life-changing thing to take place. Start with something small. And how will you serve others this year? How will you give your life away this year? Decide now what it will be and take a step. Send an email. Talk to Sean about joining the usher team. Talk to a pastor about finding a place to serve, about starting a life group, whatever it might be. So Lord, we ask that you would help us to assume our God-given responsibility for our lives. No one will do it for us. Help us to decide what is important according to your word. Help us to not wait to begin, but let us start now. And as we do, we know that you will help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Before we close, we're gonna end our time by receiving communion together. You should have had a communion cup like this on your seat when you came in. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Sean will get you guys one. Receiving communion together is something that all followers of Christ are invited to. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is open to you. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus before and you don't feel like you're ready to do that now, that's totally fine. There's no pressure. We're just gonna, you know, invite you to let this moment pass. You can simply observe as we do this. But the night before Jesus was betrayed, he had dinner with some friends. And as he gathered together with them, he took some bread and he broke it. And he said, this represents my body that's about to be broken for you. And the disciples, they didn't really understand it at that time. But a couple hours later, as they saw Jesus beaten and bloody, hanging on a cross, they understood what it meant for a body to be broken. And Jesus says, my body is going to be broken so that yours may be healed. And so as often as you get together, Jesus said, I want you to break bread and remember my body being broken for you. And then it says in the same way he took a cup and he says this cup, it represents the new covenant, the new deal, the new arrangement between God and humanity. That once upon a time, Israel had to bring animal sacrifices to the temple and that blood of the animal had to be shed for their sins to be forgiven. But Jesus says, this is now the blood of the lamb, my own blood, he said, that's going to be shed for you so that you can be made righteous despite your sin. So we gather together and we're going to receive communion. And as you do, I want to invite you, Jacob's going to lead us in worship. And as he's leading us in this song, you can receive communion at your own pace when you're ready. But as you do, take this piece of bread and remember Jesus's body being broken for you. And then flip it over and drink this juice, remembering the covenant that has been made, that the scripture says is an everlasting covenant for the forgiveness of your sins and the new life that God has for you. So as you're ready, you can receive communion. Jacob, will you lead us?